Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. How often do we hear that? We thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Amen. And we do thank you for tuning in. We are an interactive Bible study, and I must be a little tongue-tied. We're an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to call in to participate. For those of you who are listening by internet, you can call in. The number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you would be connected to the lines. We do ask for those of you who have tuned in to make sure that you mute your phones or your mics or whatever you're using, because we can hear everything in the background. Amen. And it becomes kind of distracting for the listeners as well as the speaker. So we do thank you for doing just that. As we move forward, we are going to be in New Jersey, amen, with Director James Gary. And we're going to have him on in a few minutes. For those who have tuned in, folks, if you would like to share a message that you have heard with a family or a friend, you can go to our archives. And how do you get there? You would go into the internet and you would type in Blog Talk Radio. After you type in Blog Talk Radio, then you would type in We Can Begin Again. Once you type that in, you can pull up any of the messages or lessons that we have aired within the last 7 or 8 years. Amen. So if you have heard something this evening, you would like to share it with a family or a friend, please do just that. As we move forward, we're going to open up the mic for Director Gary. He is going to give us a prayer, and we're going to move forward. And before we do that, we'd like there are those who are on the prayer line. If you have someone that you would like to pray for, amen, we do invite you to do just that. We are the body of Christ, and we do pray one for another. So we invite you to do that. Amen. We have Stuart Hoth on our line who's asking for prayer. We have Yolonia Harper on the line, Aletha Clay, James Hobbs, Diane Wilborn, Wendell Wilborn. We have Vonzetta Wilborn on our prayer list. We have Pastor Paul Robinson on our prayer list. Amen, amen. We're going to even add Brother Norman Rice on our prayer list as well. Amen. There are so many that we have on our prayer list. We cannot cover them, but we know that God knows who they are and what their needs are. So we're going to move on over into New Jersey with Pastor, I'm calling you Pastor already, Director, Pastor James Gary, amen, titled Director James Gary, but we know that the word is in him, and we know that God is going to use him in a mighty way. Director Gary, are you there?
Amen, amen. I'm here, and I just say good evening to all of our fellow believers, and just say welcome to New Jersey and to Equip for Life Ministries. I'm director of this ministry with my wife, my beautiful bride, Anna Gary, and I am James Gary, and we welcome you into the world of blessings through Christ Jesus, and we're just thankful to be here tonight to bring the Word of God to you, and we'd like to just open up in prayer tonight and let our Lord bless us with the Word and the covering. So, dear Jehovah, amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity to spread your word amongst those who are in need. Lord God, we ask that you would just let your Holy Spirit flow tonight, Lord. Let your words be my words be your words. We ask you to touch every heart, Lord God. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to answer every question. Use me, Lord God. Answer every question that is on the heart and then on the mind and on the souls of your fellow children, Lord God. Father, we come in unity of the Holy Spirit to spread your word and your gospel to the ends of the earth. And, Father, we thank you and we bless you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a pleasure to be here again, and we have a lot of information to cover tonight. And as promised, we are following up on lesson number five, or key number five. We like to talk about these lessons as keys, because just as you need a key to get into your vehicle, just as you need a key to get into your home, you need a key to get into, say, for instance, different areas in your workplace, there are keys that God has given us to enter into a closer relationship with Him. And we like to think of these keys as blessings and gifts from God. In fact, they're not hidden from us, but they're hidden for us. He wants to keep us intrigued, and He wants us to follow His Son to Him. So today, we're going to pick up on lesson five. There are two key points that just do not want to leave locked up for you. And these are from the last lesson, which was pleasing God through a holy life. And it was a biblical look at righteousness. And we covered 4 points out of the six that we wanted to cover last week. We took you through what it means to be right in the sight of God. We talked a lot about the impossibility of pleasing God through works. And those two are closely related. And you can actually, again, from the archives, as our brother said, you can actually listen to that lesson if as needed, or any other formal lessons. And this is a 7-session training course, and we'd like you to be able to get the fullness of it. So if you can listen to the earlier lessons, I think you will be blessed as well. So the next point was the two sides of sanctification. We talked about that, and we also talked about God's part in cleansing us from sin through the blood of Christ Jesus. Now, with those things being said, there's some value in becoming a Christian and being covered by the blood of Jesus. And one of the key reasons, if nothing else gets your attention, I just want to open up with point 5 and point 6. Point 5 covers what we call warnings about the intentions of the enemy. And the purpose of this is to just make sure that you're aware that there is an enemy of your soul, and he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy your relationships, your children, your home, your blessings, and everything that is about you. See, because we're created, know this, we're created in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, every time the enemy sees our face, he sees the face of God. Every time he sees a child of God, he sees the face of God. So I want us not to be foolish, but I want us to be mindful of the fact that he has an intention, and those intentions were thwarted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible also provides many, many warnings about the intentions of the enemy, about the fallen angels, what we call demonic powers, and spiritual darkness of this world. And Ephesians 6 talks a lot about it. Paul talks a lot about that in Ephesians 6 and how we can equip ourselves with the armor of God. So, the overall meaning of this is that as believers, we must be on guard against the different and many attacks and weapons that the enemy will use against us. And most of those tools that he uses are aimed at our thought lives. And what does that mean? That means ultimately that the enemy's goal is that we would renounce our faith in Christ, but the beautiful thing about it is that the gospel contains great news for us. And what is that great news? That great news is that through the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus has already conquered the enemy. He's done it for us. He's done it through the shedding of his own blood as the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life for us. And there was power, in fact, that he gives to us. He gives us access to by overcoming the grave and the enemy. See, when we as a child of God place our faith in Christ, we open up the way for Jesus to bring us into his victory. And so what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that when we battle in this world through trials and tribulations, we're battling not as the world battles. We're battling from a place of victory. See, the war is already won. And we can look in Revelations and we'll see that the war was already won. And Jesus gives the blueprint, his fingerprint, right there in Revelations, in the book of Revelations. But the book of Revelations is a complex book. So it's very important that we truly read the Old Testament and the New Testament, because it's very important that we can understand it. And we can understand the types and the shadows in the Old Testament so that it can unlock things for us that are shared by Christ himself with his disciples for us and written for us to be able to understand him. Mm-hmm. So I will actually give a scripture here. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, and I'm reading from the NIV. And it says, "Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So our job in this battle, again, the battle's not ours, it's the Lord, is to keep our heart clean, to keep our ways pure, to love the things that God loves, to love the peace that Jesus said he gave us, and to pursue the righteousness of God through our faith in Christ Jesus. So ultimately, that's what Paul is telling us there in Timothy, 2 Timothy. I also want to read to you another scripture. I want to read to you another scripture, and let me just grab that one for you quickly. And this deals specifically with the enemy, the acts of the enemy. And it's 2 Timothy 4:18. And 2 Timothy 4:18 reads, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Again, what Paul is telling us here is that there is no evil attack that can have victory over you. This is a promise from Almighty God. Promises that even though these attacks come, even though they may be many, that he will rescue us from every single one of those attacks. And he will bring us out of it safely into his heavenly kingdom. And again, that's why what we do is when we have these attacks from the enemy, we are to bring heaven to earth, bring heaven into that situation. That's why Jesus says, love your enemy and do good to them, because it will be as pouring hot coals over their heads, because they will ask themselves, why did I hurt this person? So we're to bring heaven to earth, bring heaven to earth, and bring Jesus and his warring angels into our situation, because they are here to help us. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'll move to 2 Peter 2:9, and it says, "If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment." So God will fashion a miracle for your very situation. He knows exactly how to rescue us out of a trial. Why do these trials come? Why does he allow them? Because he's after our heart. He wants to condition us. It's no different than a boxer. Why does a boxer spar in the gym before a fight? Why does he take hits? Why does he do all these things? He does these things to build his defense mechanisms, to build his response time, to build his reflexes, so that things will be automatic. So we're exercising those muscles so that we can be sharp and ready for any attack, no matter where it comes from. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, we go through these trials, but these trials don't catch God by surprise. They may catch us by surprise if we don't have our eyes open, but they don't catch God by surprise. So that's the purpose of that section there. And also, I like to read Jude 1:24, chapter 1, verse 24. And it says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault with great joy." See, God does it with joy. He rescues us and delivers us out of great joy. Out of great joy, without finding fault in our shortcomings. So his presence is glorious in our eyes. So we are to welcome the day of our Lord, because we know that his presence is good. And that's why we bring heaven to earth. We bring his presence into our situation. We bring his presence into our workplace. So no matter what attacks come against us, he will be there. He would give us the word that we need in that time of need. And he even tells us in Paul to don't worry about what we're going to do through Paul, to not worry about what we're going to say. Even if it's going to court, don't worry about what you have to say. The God of the universe, the God, our Father, will give us the words to say in our time of need.
Amen.
Okay, but what does this require? That brings us to point number 6 from our last lesson. What does this require? It requires us, which is the topic of this subject here, and that is to make godly choices. We're required to make godly choices. So this point, our 6th and final point in this teaching is this, that in order to walk in the victory that Christ brings to us, it is important to make choices that will keep us away from temptation and away from sin. And what does that mean? That means making practical decisions. We need to make practical decisions through an honest response and by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, such that we always allow room in our lives for God to influence our decisions. And we have to also guard our minds and our hearts and protect ourselves from, so that we don't expose our minds or souls to ungodly things.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, instead of frustration, Jesus wants us to live in the victory that he already won and in his peace and his joy. So again, we always want to look forward to the day that our Lord receives us into heaven. And that's where our sanctification will be made complete. And that's where we will be changed. That's where we will never again be exposed to this, to the evil of this earth, to evil people and evil beings. And that's where our resurrection, the resurrection of our bodies, will be changed so that we cannot sin. So we will too be like Jesus without sin at that point. And so with that, I'll read 2 Corinthians 6:16-17. And this is what Jesus is asking. It says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols?" And I actually preached about this at one of our family reunions. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, "I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." That's a promise. We have to hold on to these promises of God.
Yes.
He will receive us, but we must guard our hearts. We must guard our minds. And finally, in Philippians 3:21, he goes further to say, "Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So we are the clay, he is the potter. We are the clay, he is the potter. He is the potter, we are the clay. And he will mold us, and he will bring us, and bring all these things that have had what seems to be victory over us, he will bring all those things under control. See, God promises that when the enemy comes in as a flood, that he will raise up a standard against him. And when he looked over all the earth, who did he raise up? He raised up his one and only begotten Son. He is the standard that he will raise against the enemy in every situation. So in our situation, who are we to raise up? We're to raise up Jesus in that situation.
Hallelujah.
We're to bring Jesus into that situation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any questions or any comments on that lesson?
All the mics open.
Amen. 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 So that was introduction to Spiritual Warfare 101, I would say, as you call it. Actually, Elijah House is another teaching that is that we do at our church at Calvary Temple in Wayne, New Jersey, and also classes like this we do oftentimes. In fact, Equip for Life is the first level, is what we call a first level course or entry level course. Not just for new believers, we offer it for new believers, but we also offer it for those who have attended church for many, many years. You'd be surprised how many people don't have all the keys that we discuss here. So you're welcome to visit us there or to listen here on a New Beginnings Ministry to some of these teachings. But if you want to go deeper in Christ, remember, he tells us that deep calls unto deep. So if you feel convicted to go deeper, these lessons are available for you. So with that being said, we will move on to the core of our reason for meeting together tonight. And we'll move on to point six, or key number six, and lesson number six, which is entitled Relating to the Family of God. And it's a biblical look at the church, communion, and water baptism. Okay, so I always like to start these off with a life principle. And I said, blessed and protection be over Pastor Thomas Kineth, who was our former lead pastor, but he went on to be pastor over all the churches in our state, all of the Assemblies of God churches in our state. He has about 600 churches under him now. And I feel pleased and blessed that he chose me and my wife to shepherd over this ministry. Again, it has actually three levels. It deals with Equip for Life, level one, Barnabas Life Enrichment Studies, which is level two, and then Word Quest, which goes a little deeper, and that's a level three course. So you're welcome again to visit us in those. So how do we relate to the family of God? How do we relate to the family of God? And life principle number six is this. It says, it is my privilege or our privilege to be a part of a local church where I can grow in my faith and where I can fellowship and serve with others. It's a privilege. This is a privilege that we have as children of God. And the key verse for you today is Romans chapter 12, verse 5. And this one I'm reading from the King James Version, and I'll just skip a little bit ahead here and say, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And that's Romans 12:5. See, one of the greatest blessings that we have and provisions, I would say, that we have been given as children of God is our local church. In this day and age, many don't see it as a resource, but it is a resource, a godly resource available to each and every one of us. And the beautiful thing about it is you don't have to be a believer to go. But when you go, I think that you will become a believer because God's word has a changing power. It has a staying power. It has a delivering power.
Yes.
And it can deliver the most broken person from the pit of despair and into a new life. It can deliver the addicted from the place of darkness into a place of light. It can deliver the prostitute from a place of promiscuity to a place of single desire for our Lord. It is a powerful, powerful thing, and that's why we call it our spiritual home. And it's a place where we can regularly fellowship, we can grow with our spiritual family, because God is not a God of stagnation. He wants us to grow, to grow deeper into him,
mm-hmm.
and to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. And the Bible describes it as the spiritual body. So each of us actually play a part. We actually are part of that body. And it's important to remember that no single member or person is the only part. There are millions of other believers around the world, hundreds perhaps in the area that you live in. But we all call upon the same Lord, and they all call upon the same Lord with us. See, praise and worship and prayer has no boundaries. It can actually go through walls. It can penetrate the hardened heart that exists. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can actually, the Word of God can actually penetrate any concrete bunker anywhere. We can pray for our family no matter where they are. We can pray for our friends no matter where they are and get through to
Amen.
Them. Because God's angels can go wherever he sends them, his holy angels. Amen?
Amen.
But in order to better understand God's plan for the what we call the body of Christ, this sixth lesson is going to teach a little bit more about our need for a relationship with the local church family. I'm also going to cover the ordinance of communion and also the importance of water baptism. The importance of water baptism. So we start off tonight with, we start off tonight with the meaning of the church. The meaning of the church. Well, the word church in our English, what we call English Bibles, it has a unique meaning. What does it mean? It means the called out ones. In other words, we have been called out of a spiritual darkness into the light of Christ Jesus. We've also been called out to assemble together to hear the word of God. See, we should not forsake assembling together. You know, programs such as this are wonderful and beautiful, but we still must not negate or neglect coming together. There's power. Where two or more gathered, Jesus is there. So we ought to be where Jesus is and be where more than one is gathered so that we can offer up our prayers and so that the Lord and his Spirit can collectively fulfill all the things that we have a need for in that place. The Bible also refers to what we call true believers, the church as what we call true believers. And in Jesus Christ, true believers exist around the world, not just in our local congregations, but around the world. Around the world, people get together and regularly gather to live out their faith in the Lord. And I just want to read, if you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Verses 14 through 15. And again, I'm reading from the NIV version in this case. And it says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Every family in heaven and on earth derives his name from the Father, God the Father. That is such a beautiful thing. He called us by this. He calls us family even before we knew him. Even before we knew him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then Acts 16, 4 through 5, it says, "As they traveled from town to town, They delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers." Wouldn't that be a beautiful sight today, to see our churches grow in numbers?
Mm.
To see, for people to see the decisions being made to see God's hand moving amongst the congregations, amongst the people of the congregations, amongst his body, healing those that may be have the heart of God. You know, we open up about those that are in need of healing. You know, these may be the elbows, the joints in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. And so the reason why we call for prayer for those that are hurting and those that are sick is because if one part is sick, the whole body is sick. So we want healing in our body. We want healing to come in the body of Christ. So we call on the name of Adonai Rapha, which means God our healer, and he will come. And we do this together in the congregation so that if anyone is ailing because of an attack of the enemy, God's Holy Spirit, and he will send his holy angels when we're praying in unison and when all hearts are joined together in prayer. So that's why we gather together. Amen? And so we'll move to point two, and that's called, I call that the community of believers, the community of believers. And again, we turn to Scripture and we see that every true local church acts as a community of believers. It acts as has a role as a community of believers. And what does it mean to gather together? Well, the biblical word for that is called communion and fellowship. And basically it means sharing together something in common, such as what we're doing tonight. Tonight we're having communion and fellowship together, sharing God's word, sharing the thought and the heart of the Spirit of God as he leads us deeper into his word through this study. So as we share what's common in the word of God to each other, we become what we call a Christian community. And I want you to be fed not just by my words, but by the words coming in your region of the world. Wherever you may be listening in tonight, we pray for you. We call out to you. The Lord is calling for you to come out, to share together something that you have in common. You may think that your situation is isolated, that you're the only one hurting, you're only the one going through this. And what is God saying about this? What is he doing about this? Well, if God is in New Jersey healing, where do you want to go? You want to go where that healing is in New Jersey. If God is at a well in Jerusalem healing, you want to be where his spirit is. You want to be where his movement is. That's why we come out and we go to the church.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. See, there are many truths that you just can't unlock, a truth that you may need, a key that you may need, that your pastor, your local pastor may have for you, that God's conditioned and put on his heart for you to receive. And if you stay home that Sunday, if you stay home that Saturday when there may be a meeting, or you don't come after church for the Bible study, you may miss it. You're missing it. So I call out to every heart. If you're shut in, we will come to you. God will send them to you so that you can be free from that situation that you may be in, that bondage. And so we have the fellowship. It's just not with each other, see? It's with the Spirit of God through the blood of Christ, with the hope of salvation and the expectation of the return of our Savior. That's why we come together, to celebrate these times and to overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and the testimony of others that we hear. And their testimonies will cause, you know, maybe your situation to change because you realize that, wow, that person went through something and that's my answer. That's the answer I need. I need to see that somebody else overcame that and how God moved in their lives. So we come to hear those testimonies. See, the early church illustrated the importance of this sense of what we call community. And where can we find that? We can find that in Acts 2. 41-47, Acts chapter 2, verses 41-47. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers, to their number daily,
Amen.
Those who were being saved. Amen. That's why we get together. That's why we get together.
Mm-hmm.
We can also see it in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 24 in the NIV. And it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So we rejoice in God because of what he did. And also in Acts chapter 5, verse 41 through 42, go a little deeper here. It says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
Yeshua
Hallelujah.
HaMashiach, the Messiah, the bread of life, the rose of Sharon. This is the one that we worship and pray and hope for and await his return. And then Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all
yes.
and through all and in all. So in your situation that you may be going through, that hardship, look for the Lord in it. He's there. There's a
yes.
silver lining in it. There's an underlying succession plan for you. There's something there. He's not far from any one of us. We are to look for him in our situation. Expect him to be there when we call on him. And he
Amen.
Will come. And he will come for you. He will come. We move to our third point, which is the importance of the Lord's Supper. And that is what I call the ordinance of communion. The ordinance of communion. Are there any questions, by any chance? Any comments, any questions before we move on?
Well,
Amen.
I'd like to make a comment, which I like what you were saying in terms of why do we come together, because that's oftentimes a question, especially with our youth, feeling that that they do not have to assemble together in the church, and it's becoming even more widespread. So, you know, I like how you broke that down in terms of reasons why we come together. Many youth feel that they can have church at home, simply that because we have technology and all these other things that are taking place where they do not have to come to the physical building. So I like, again, how you share that perspective.
Yeah, it's true. So, see, sometimes we have to be there to eat, you know. If you're over the phone, you can only get so much. If you're on the radio, you can only get so much. You know, you can't see that casserole that's being baked. You can't see how it's being put together completely. You can hear it. You can maybe hear the sizzle, and you can maybe get a somewhat of an aroma. But sometimes you have to be there to get the fullness of it. You have to actually taste and see that the Lord is good. And sometimes you need to
Amen.
See other people that tasted that casserole, that tasted and actually saw that the Lord was good. And that's why they follow him. Sometimes you have to be there. And there's a saying, be in it to win it. Sometimes you have to be there to get it.
Amen.
You see? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we move on to the next point, which is the importance of the Lord's Supper. And that is, before Jesus died on the cross, our Lord died on the cross, he established a way for us to remember his great sacrifice, and to look forward to our future and our fellowship with him in heaven. And this is what we call the ordinance of communion, or the Lord's Supper. And what does it include? It includes the partaking of the elements of the bread and the cup, which is generally juice from grapes on a regular basis. And these are what we call emblems, and they represent the price that Jesus paid on the cross, and they are a reminder to us of the awful suffering that he underwent for us. See, when we break the bread and we bite it, see, we have to chew it, see? We chew it, and remember, it is a reminder of what God, what Jesus went through for us. He was broken. He was, like, mauled over. He was beaten. He was abused. You know, he was really, really hurt for us. And then his blood was shed for us, and that's what the juice, or what some say wine, but it's a very, very light, much lighter than what you may imagine in terms of juice and grapes, non fermented in that case. So very, very light, light dose that you receive, and it was just an example of the blood. And the body that was broken, and the blood that was shed for us. So also, I will also say that communion fulfills the meaning of what the Jewish community calls the Passover meal. And that's what they are looking forward to. But he already came, and he already shed his blood for us. And this is what we look forward to when the Messiah returns, the overcoming of all those things, all of the sin in the world, all of those things that he did for us, we will see the fulfillment of it in the return of Jesus Christ. And many Jews, their eyes will be open for the first time. They will see that the Lord is who he said he was, and he will come to deliver us all. See, because if they did not believe, there would not have been room for us to be able to come in. Mm. We are grafted in through them. And we're made complete through them. But he does. The Lord has not forgotten them. Just Amen. Because their eyes are shelled right now, and they don't see him. They don't see his goodness. Many eyes are being opened even as we speak. And they're ready. The hearts are receiving the perfect Lamb of God. And with that, I'd like to actually read Luke 22, chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And that says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and when he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And he asks us to do it. He commands us to do it in memory of him and what he was about to do for us. And that's the beauty of our Lord. The beauty of our Lord.
Amen.
And also in 1 Corinthians 10:16, he tells us, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break in participation in the body of Christ a participation in the body of Christ? Yes, these things are us participating in what he did for us. And 1 Corinthians 11:23 goes a little bit further. In verses 23 to 28, it says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup, from the cup. And that's 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 28. I'd like to just focus on that last part for a moment. See, Jesus said something there that is very important. See, we must examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves because many have fallen sick and some have even died as a result of eating these elements in an unworthy fashion. So Jesus wants us to partake in it, but he doesn't want us to be living a sinful life and taking these things as though he never died for our sins. See, he actually took on all of our sin. And every time that we take communion, we are, in a sense, showing that he took on all of the sin of the world, our sicknesses, our disease, our broken promises, and all these things, and all of our sin and filthy rags, he took on. So if we do not partake and take this seriously when we do it, we actually are reaping judgment on ourselves. And that's why he says some are sick. But see, the beauty of our Lord is that even if you've done this and you've been guilty of this type of sin, you can repent and turn back to the Lord, and he will forgive you. Remember, it says that he healed. The Bible tells us that he healed all of our diseases. So through repentance, we can have all of our diseases healed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So with that, I'm going to move on to point number four, which is description, which covers descriptions of the church. I think I jumped ahead here. Yeah, descriptions of the church in the Bible. And the church is described in the scriptures through many what we call word pictures, and each has a unique meaning. So I'm going to read a few of these for you, and I just want you to comment on what your thoughts are. The family of God is the first one, and we can find out about that in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and also in Ephesians 3:14 through 15. And I'll read 2 Corinthians 6:18, and it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So God declares that he is our father. So therefore, we have a connection with him. And he also tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives his name." And I said that before, and I say it again. We are his children. And we know that we're also the body of Christ. And I'll just read I'll give you the scripture for the sake of time. I won't read that one, but I'll say 1 Corinthians 12:12-27 describes that. But we're also the bride of Christ, and that's 2 Corinthians. Our bodies are also a spiritual temple, and that's 1 Corinthians 3:16. And I will read that one. And it says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" See, we're containers. Our bodies are containers. We are the containers of the Holy Spirit. And as, when we give our lives to Jesus, he sends his Spirit to dwell in us. And the next one is the army of the Lord. And that's Ephesians 6:10-17. And that one is very, very important. And that is called the armor of God. And together these five items or points that I cover is pretty much why we go to church and why we want to collectively be together, because we are the army of God. And Ephesians 6:10-17 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's Ephesians 6:10 through 17. And we will finish on that point, because I like to just focus on that for a moment. Every believer should be putting this armor on daily. It should be the first thing you do before leaving your house, going on the road, and going to work or any other place. You should put on the full armor of God. See, this is a covering. This is a gift from God that He's given us as for protection, for our protection. We should even, if you have a loved one that's far away, you can even pray this, and put the armor of God on them through prayer. And we should never take this for granted, because this is a tool. This is one of our major tools in spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And we should never, ever be caught without it. Because what happens to a soldier that does not have his armor on, that doesn't wear his gear? He's susceptible to all types of attacks, to shrapnel, to all kinds of things that will harm him. All types of things that will cause harm. So we must always prepare ourselves by putting on this armor. We must be diligent to do it daily, and we must be prepared for anything that comes our way. And
Amen.
We must also pray for the Lord's people. And this is something that is very, very important. Any comments on that?
I think those are very strong words. The examination of ourselves and meaning of actually going to church, participation in communion, and the preparation of putting on our armor and, fellowship and making itself stronger through God, remembering God is with us. We're a temple of God. And we have to remember that. We're not by ourselves. We can't serve as, just be like tumbleweed and just blow in the wind. We have to be grounded and demonstrate a sense of love for one another. I know as I speak, I'm moving in a lot of different directions, but basically I'm speaking about God, what He expects of us. But our body is a temple of God, we're made in His image.
Amen, amen. And I'd just like to add one scripture for you, and this is for all the listeners before we close, and that is Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verses 16 through 19. Even God wears armor. He says, God says here, saw that there was no one, He was appalled that there was no one to intervene, so His own arm achieved salvation for Him, and His own righteousness sustained Him. He, in verse 17, He put on righteousness as His breastplate and the helmet of salvation on His head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped Himself in zeal as a cloak. So when we put on Ephesians 6, we're doing exactly what God does. God does not even go into battle without without armor, and He lends His armor
Amen.
To us. So we as children of God must put this armor on daily. if you feel weak, if you feel trouble, put on the armor of God and wear it down.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So next
Amen.
Week
Amen.
We'll be covering the last two points here, and we'll move on to our seventh and final key. Our seventh and final key, and that key will help you tremendously in buttoning up your walk with the Lord. And it's called investing your gifts and resources, and it's a biblical look at stewardship. And we're gonna look at that next week, and we're gonna finish up our last two points. At that time, we're gonna finish up our last two points at that time. And I just bless you today, and I will give the Aaronic blessing over you, and we will close, and we'll meet you again next week. Now just say, Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you. Yahweh cause his face to may Yahweh cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. May the Lord of all peace be with you and bless you in this week until we meet again. God bless you all. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once again, we do thank you, Director Gary, for your scripture. And oftentimes we walk the walk, but oftentimes we lose where scripture is or where God has stated that. So we do thank you for equipping us with scripture to walk with on our journey. We do thank you for so much. We do invite you back next Wednesday. We do have, I think we're going to be in New York next Wednesday, and then we have Reverend Dr. Michael Jackson, who will be coming on as well. We do thank you. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
I face the dawn.